Promise, a program on the American Voice Radio Network, featuring Pastor Dan of the Messiah's Branch Ministry. And now, here's Pastor Dan.
Welcome to Mission Watch Live, another Messiah's Branch national satellite radio program. We are broadcasting from the Flint Hills of Kansas, and we're on the American Voice Radio Network. Today's day is September 4th, 2014. With Mission Watch Live, we are warning the world as it happens. If you need help with anything after this program, please call me. If you need a prayer, you may call me for that also. If you get the machine, please leave your name, your number, your prayer request, or message. The phone number, of course, is 620-878-4682, 620-878-4682. And while I generally say in an emergency, call my cell phone number, 316-619-4886, please use that. If you can't get me on the regular phone, I haven't called you right back or something in a couple of days, I get a lot of calls. So please don't let what's troubling you slip through the cracks. Call me. Just make sure I don't turn my phone on till after 1 o'clock, and I don't turn it on the Sabbath. So please call me. Anyway, a couple other things. Now, well, I always say you can find updates with the breaking news, our ministry radio program archives, and our mailing address on our blog, which is at prophecyhour.com. We also have a couple of Yahoo lists over there. One is called Mission Updates, and the other one is PNS. That's the Prophetic News Service, where I send out, now it's a lot of emails, I send out a lot of emails every day with the breaking news as it comes in. So I cover a lot of things. But also at prophecyhour.com, if you just go over there and check the page a couple of times a day, you'll see some of it's breaking news. It's as it happens. We are warning you as it happens. So please, I challenge you to go over at prophecyhour.com and simply, check out the news, but share with others. You know, this is another way you can help this ministry. Well, we're always looking for donations because our ministry doesn't sell anything. Share this ministry with others. We need to get some new listeners. While we have thousands and thousands of listeners that listen to our programs, but for each thousand, it's a very small percent of the people that actually would donate. And so we don't sell anything, so try to do that for us. Anyway, Prophecy Hour radio archives can be found at prophecyhour.com. And here's another one, branch.podomatic.com, branch.podomatic.com. But you can find that link where it says End Time Radio Archives at Prophecy Hour. But both those sites are both very smartphone friendly. In fact, at branch.podomatic.com, they have an Apple app. Application and an application for Android on Google Play. So listen up, and I challenge you to share with your with two or three others. Excuse me, I got to get a drink of water. Start to lose my voice though. Well, I guess I've talked enough. That must be the sign. I'll say a prayer and we'll bring our guest in. Dear Heavenly Father, in Yeshua HaMashiach's name, I pray. Father, I pray that radio tonight goes according to your will and not my will, and give everyone out there ears in which to hear the truth. Amen and amen. Well, our guest has been on with us before. He is the author of the book, The End of America. When he was on last time, I'm pretty sure we talked about the role of Islam in the end times and the biblical warnings to flee America. I asked him what he wanted to talk about tonight, and he said, prophecy and where we're at in the world today. I think he kind of wondered, I didn't mean to be that way, but some folks like to specifically talk about some things. So let's just welcome him on and see what John Price wants to talk about. Are you there with us, John?
Pastor Dan, it's great to be back with you.
Well, you're sounding real clear. I guess we got you on Skype, so it sounds good. I'm really glad to be back with you. It's been a little while. I think it was last year sometime, wasn't it?
Yes, that's right.
Yeah, absolutely. I was looking for your book, so I always like to have the book in my hand when I'm talking to somebody. It just gives me a connection, I think, but I couldn't find the book. But how's the book doing, The End of America?
Well, surprisingly, the book, The End of America, on the Kindle bookstore, continues to be the number one best-selling book for books that deal with Islam. And I guess that tells you that a lot of people in the United States don't buy the Quran because it outsells the Quran on a regular basis.
Really? Well, that's a huge blessing. Amen. Anything that I won't say anything, but that's a huge I could get into a lot of trouble here.
Yeah,
you
would.
I don't know what I'm thinking today, but amen. So, amen. It's a great book. So they can get a Kindle copy or they can get a physical copy, right?
Yeah, Kindle is only 99¢ because we wanted a lot of people to be able to read it and see what the Bible says about that great, rich, powerful, influential country known as the Daughter of Babylon and Babylon the Great, which, as you know from reading the book, I believe that the 30 clues that God gives us concerning Mystery Babylon all point towards America. In addition to that, in the book, as you read in the subtitle, The Role of Islam in the End Times, we deal in there with what has been occurring in the last 1,400 years as the Islamic theology has gone across the world, almost taking over Europe until 1632 when it was stopped at the gates of Venice. But even today, and since we're talking about prophecy and talking about current events, even today, the Secretary of State of the United States in a news conference again referred to the fact, referred to the non-fact that Islam is a religion of peace. And he said that for centuries, people have recognized that Islam is a religion of peace, but all they have to do is buy any book that deals with the history of Islam and see that from its founding until its current point in time, it's always been a religion which has done exactly what the Islamic State is doing right now, which is to kill, rape, pillage, conquer, destroy. And that's one of the things I thought it might be helpful if we talk about at the head of the program here, Pastor, is what the Bible says, that we can specifically point to verses and identify those verses and find Islam in the Bible, which I know that your scholars are going to say, wait a minute, Islam can't be in the Bible because it didn't come until 632 after the Bible was written. But let's talk about how it was prophesied.
Okay, amen. Let's do that, and that's really important. But let me just break in with a couple of comments, and then you can go on and talk. And this is really important, folks. Islam is in the Bible, but let's go with this. Number one, you say it's only 99¢ at Kindle, right?
Correct.
Okay, folks, that's The End of America. I really want you to get that book. It's a really important book for this time. And number two, folks, number two, what I wanted to tell John is people, when they say a religion of peace, no, it's actually a religion of death. They love death more than life. Well, you know, people who wrote a book love life more than death, you know, but we don't love our lives unto death, as we're seeing with all the Christians that are being slaughtered. But, okay, John, then I'll try not to interrupt you. You go ahead and take us into this because it's really important. Again,
well,
interruption.
No problem. Revelation chapter 20, and I'm looking specifically at verse 4, it says, I saw the souls of those who had been beheaded because of their testimony for Jesus and because of the word of God. Beheaded, when I used to teach this a couple of decades ago, I would say, well, I suppose they're going to have to take the guillotines out of the French museums and bring them back and take them into Europe, etc. But as we get closer to the fulfillment of prophecy, we can understand more about it. It's like walking through a fog towards a light. When you're a mile away, you see a little distant light. You get a little closer, you understand what it is, and then you get right up against it, and you see that it's a light on a cabin, for example. So we are coming closer and closer to the fulfillment of prophecy in the end times. And this is the first one I'd like to bring up, and that's from Revelation 24, that God's people are going to be, many of us, beheaded because of our testimony for Jesus and because of the Word of God. Now, Jesus, and this is the second important verse where we can find Islam in the Bible. Jesus in John 16, 1 through 4, said, "In fact, a time is coming when anyone who kills you will think he is offering a service to God." So combine these verses, and what we really find here is that Scripture is telling us that there will be a point in time, in the end of time, when there'll be something like a global religion that will view itself as being divinely appointed on the earth and authorized by God to go out and behead those who refuse to join it. Now, that is specifically what the Quran does, because in the Quran, Muhammad said, if you find a heathen and he refuses to convert, you're to smite his neck. And, of course, we've been shown on our TV screens in the last few days gory pictures of two American journalists whose neck were smited. I don't think there's any indication that these two specifically were Christians. They were killed because they're Americans. But approximately 100,000 Christians have been killed either in Syria or Iraq in the last 2 years, and they were killed because they were Christians. There was even one little five-year-old boy who refused to convert. He said that he loved Jesus, and they killed him, cut him in two, according to the pastor who was interviewed. So here we have, in our time, another example of fulfillment of prophecy. The most important one in our time, and I know you've taught on this a lot, is the fact that Israel is back in the land, just as Jesus said they would be, and there they are. And the world hates them, and they're a stumbling block, just as he said they would be. So, is Islam in the Bible? Of course, the name Islam is not, and Muhammad is not, because they came along, he was born in 632. But a lot of things that are in the Bible are prophesied and have come to pass. For example, the return of Israel to the land, and Babylon the Great, the daughter of Babylon as America, the great influential end times nation. So that's kind of a lead off to our discussion about, are we in the end times?
Okay. Well, let's go with this. So, you know, while Islam, the word Islam, is not written in the Bible, the people that turned into Islam is, just like, you know, they call themselves the sons of Ishmael. They talk about how in the word it talks about how Ishmael would be a first man, and how that he'd be against all of his brothers, against everybody. And the lands that are in Ezekiel 38 that are lined up to go against Israel are indeed Muslim lands.
Yes, they are. And that's another, I appreciate you bringing that up, because that's another proof of the fact that the great tide that will come against Christianity in the end of time, in the end times, is not a revived Roman Empire. When I was a brand new Christian and taught Bible studies, I was like most Christians at the time. I thought the Antichrist would be probably a Roman or a French guy, maybe an Italian guy, and that the revived Roman Empire would be the force that would come against Israel. But since that time, and again, as we get closer to prophecy being fulfilled, I agree with Joel Richardson, who's written the two books called The Coming Muslim Antichrist and The Mideast Beast, in which he's analyzed all these scriptures we're talking about, and he says, there's really nothing to confirm in Scripture that the location of the Antichrist would be in Europe. We just assumed that through the years, because it talked about 10 nations, and there were generally 10 nations in Europe. Of course, now there are 24 in the European Union. But what essentially the Scripture verses are saying is that the great force that will come against Israel and against Christians in the end times will be the things we've just been talking about. People who want to behead you, people who think they're doing God a favor by taking your head off your body, people who surround Israel. And in Richardson's most recent book, he lists the 10 nations that are the most likely ones to be around and are currently around Israel and will be involved in the attack that you just mentioned in Ezekiel 38, where God allows to come against Israel. Actually, he does bring them because he says he puts hooks in their jaws. Gog of Magog, Russia, Persia, which is Iran, parts of Media and Elam, which include Iraq, and Libya specifically is mentioned. So these are nations which will attack Israel. And when they attack, Israel is going to be at peace. Every man dwelling securely in his own home and at peace, which is an amazing concept. And I just wrote a post about this, Pastor, that I'd like to just kind of share with you here for a second.
Go right ahead.
The concept is this. We've all talked for a long time about how Israel is going to be at peace when the Ezekiel invasion happens. And for years we've looked at that and said, boy, I sure don't know how they're going to be at peace. And we've had American presidents since the first George Bush who came up with the roadmap to peace and the two-state solution and the Oslo conference and the Madrid conference, et cetera, to try to make Israel give up their land. And then President Clinton came along the same way. He couldn't make Netanyahu do what he wanted. And then the next George Bush came along, and he was also unable to get peace in the Middle East. And this current administration for 5 years has tried to do it. When you look at all those failed efforts and you think, wow, the most important nation in the history of the world, the most powerful nation on the globe, can't make a little simple 15 million nation conform with their will. What's the problem here? Well, of course, it's all because of God's timing. He will allow the peace when he wants it to happen, and that's what I want to share with you. 3 days ago, I read an article that when I first read it, I thought, I need to get new glasses. Something's wrong here. I thought that I just read that the king of Saudi Arabia said that it's time to forget about old animosities with Israel and to make peace with Israel. And I thought, wait a minute. The king of Saudi Arabia is considered to be the leading figure in all of Islam because he's the king of the country in which they all go to worship, of course, at the Hajj once a year.
Right.
And when I read the article, I was flabbergasted. But let's look at what's behind it for just a minute. The one thing that the king of Saudi Arabia values more than his oil money and values more than his title is his head. He don't want to lose his head. He obviously doesn't want to lose his throne, and he doesn't want to lose his position of power. And the several thousand people that are in the royal family all think the same way. And the main way for the last few decades that they've kept that power is their agreement with the United States to keep military bases in and near Saudi Arabia, which, by the way, caused Osama bin Laden to leave Saudi Arabia because he said they were defiling the Holy Land with American bases. But anyway, we have been protecting Saudi Arabia. Now, flash forward now to 2014, and you're the king of Saudi Arabia, and you're sitting there, and you're looking at America over the last few months, who has not really come forward to protect much of anybody. Who appears to be kind of feckless and afraid to take a position. Then you look down at Iraq and you see Abu Bakr al-Baghdadi, who has proclaimed himself to be the caliph, the 12th imam, which is supposed to be the event that sets off the conversion of the whole earth to Islam. And these guys have gone from 1,000 to 10,000 to 60,000 to who knows how many now. They went from no money to $500 million that they seized when they conquered a bank in Iraq. They've taken over planes and armaments and personnel carriers that we provided when we were in Iraq, but we left them there. And he's looking at all of that and he's thinking, okay, my traditional defender probably is not going to defend me if these guys get much more powerful. Those guys can only be stopped by superior force, and Israel has superior force. And I would rather get along with my age-old enemy than to lose my head.
Right.
That's the only way I can conclude that he has decided to start suggesting peace. Now, right. The response of Israel to that I found to be very interesting, because Netanyahu had a news conference a couple of days later, and he was asked about it. He never mentioned the king specifically, but he generally said, well, we are always interested in making peace with people who want to have peace. He said, you can't make peace with an enemy who continues to kill you, and he's referring there to Hamas, because they've had, quote, peace, unquote, in the past with them in terms of ceasefires that didn't amount to anything. But what he was essentially saying is, and then at the end of that, he said, I hope that we're able to accomplish that. So he's essentially saying that if Saudi Arabia, and I think Saudi Arabia would bring along with them Jordan and Lebanon and probably Syria for that matter, and they were to all sit down at a nice big round table, maybe even in Saudi Arabia, in Riyadh, and say, okay, let's make an agreement and sign it, and they put their signatures to it. And as part of that agreement, they agreed to take out the Islamic State, or at least make a major effort towards it.
Right.
Then the end result of that would be Israel's at peace. The king gets to keep his head and his kingdom. Things settle down in the Middle East. And it doesn't take too long in a period of peace before people get used to it. And Israel sitting there in a peaceful condition, every man dwelling safely, as Ezekiel said. And it could go maybe a month, maybe a year, maybe 10 years. I'm not sure the distance because we're not told the time. And then at that point in time, we come to what you were talking about a minute ago, Gog and Magog, Iraq, Iran, Libya decide.
Okay, I'm going to have to break in. We've got about 30 seconds before break. So you need to give your website real quick, brother, and we'll go to a break, and we'll come back and talk some more.
Yes, it's the www.endofamericabook.com. Not the End of America Book, just endofamericabook.com, and they can see a free one-hour presentation on there with a lot of linkages to articles.
Yeah, absolutely. It's a good website, folks. And, of course, if you listen to this in the podcast archives or over at prophecyhour.com after this live broadcast that we're doing right now, then you'll find a link to that program there. And we'll be back in 3 minutes with more with John Price.
Pastor Dan will be right back.
Countries have denied internet access for their people during civil strife. The FCC seized in-use commercial shortwave frequencies right after the September 11th attacks. No one communication system can be depended on to be there when you need information. You need choices. You need a Ku band free-to-air satellite system from AVR. The AVR system includes a receiver, an LNB, and a 75-centimeter dish. All you need to get on your own is the coaxial cable. The system is delivered to your door for $149.99. That's right, delivered for $149.99. That's the shipping and the system, $149.99. Call 541-225-4659. That's 541-225-4659. Or visit AmericanVoiceRadio.com and click satellite system.
Prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
Unemployment insurance running out, jobs leaving the country. Many people cannot afford to eat or keep a roof over their head. Too many can do neither. Messiah's Branch has a mission church in Wichita, Kansas that helps the victims of this banker's economy, the American people. Your neighbors. The mission is the last hope for so many Americans. We need your help to lift up the poorest of the poor. These are men, women, and children who once had homes, now in the street. They all need what you need. First aid, beds, food, clothing, and so on. You can send a monetary gift or a box of necessities to 230 West 4th Street, Florence, Kansas, 66851. Or donate online by going to WichitaHomeless.com. Or simply call 316-619-4886. 316-619-4886.
Are you concerned about prescription drug dependency to stay healthy? Are you worried that the cost and availability of your medications may put your health at risk? Perhaps it's time you consider a natural, safe, and effective way to deal with your health problems. If only you knew where to start. Start right here. Tune in to Herb Talk Live with herbalist Wendy Wilson every Tuesday and Thursday evening, 7 p.m. on AmericanVoiceRadio.com, where your healthcare options just became endless.
Back. This is Pastor Dan Catlin, and you're listening to Mission Watch Live on the American Voice Radio Network. Folks, please remember to pray about a donation for our work with the homeless and poor from our mission church in Wichita, Kansas. Support us so we can care for the people that the Father sends us. You know, we really get no help from any organized churches or government agencies. It's only folks like you that have supported us and that we're now in our 15th year that make this mission church work. Now, you know, why I mentioned earlier that we have thousands of people that listen to our radio program, but most radio programs, you know, in order to raise revenue, they sell something. We don't sell anything. We have nothing to sell. I haven't wrote a book yet or any of those kind of things. All we have is your kindness. And so we pray that you would support this ministry. You know, and it's not like that, you know, prices of everything have went up. I was telling Stan Johnson at a prophecy club earlier because I tape news programs with him twice a week for his radio programs. I was telling him, he asked me what was going on. I said, well, it's like this. You know, we still have our basic supporters and folks, I love you guys. You've been with us for years. But a lot of folks out there that used to be able to donate $1,000 or $2,000 a month now are only able to donate like $100 every other month or $50 a month or something like that. Well, bless their hearts. That counts. But you see, it's not that I've lost a bunch of supporters. It's just that the economy has caused people to lose, middle-class people to lose a third of their income. So where's that going to go? Well, it hits us. So pray about it. You know, you act like, well, what's $20 or $30 do? Well, $20 will buy $20 will buy some shoes for somebody. $20 will buy some medications for somebody. You know, actually, my old junk car that I paid $800 for, it takes like about $19 worth of gas to get to Wichita and back and take care of the people. So there's lots of ways your money can help. So pray about it. Pray about it. But here I also challenge you that I want you to share this radio program with others, at least three other people. Share it with at least three other people and show them that they can listen to it on their smartphone. All you got to do is go over to prophecyhour.com and do it on your smartphone. You can see how easy it is and find the link to End Time Radio Archives. And then you found branch.podomatic.com, and it's really friendly. And there's an app for those. So share with others, because that's what we need to do, is expand our audience, which expand audience. Now, for the mood that we're in tonight and the way that things are going, you know, the place that you need to be is doing the Father's will and being on, you have to be on holy ground. How do you get to being on holy ground? Well, by having that personal relationship. But I'm going to play the song by Brother Ben, and it's called Holy Ground, and then we'll bring John Price back on. So we play that now.
Fire on the mountain, Moses went to see. The bush was burning with the flame, by the power of God's glory, was standing on holy ground. Yeah, he had to humble down and take his sandals off as he was standing on holy ground. Daniel in the lion's den, he trusted in God's word. Those hungry lions' mouths were shut, and not a hair on Daniel was hurt, and he was standing on holy ground. Yeah, he had to humble down, and he was standing. Abednego into the furnace they were tossed. When the king looked in, there were four, not three, must have had their sandals off, and they were standing on holy ground. Yeah, they had to humble down, and they were standing on holy ground. David told Goliath, you come with sword and shield, but I, in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, he was standing on holy ground. Yeah, he had to humble down, 'cause he was standing on holy ground. Holy ground. Holy ground. They were standing on holy ground. Are you standing on holy ground?
We're now back with John Price, and we're talking about the end times. We're actually talking about his book, to a certain extent, The End of America. You can find that at endofamerica.com. It's only 99 cents over on Kindle, and so I strongly suggest that you get it and read it and share it. It has some interesting things about America that might shock some of you. And are you still with me, John?
Yes, I am.
Well, amen. So we were basically talking about peace with Israel. For the record, have you made an article about what you just told us about, or no?
Yes, I did, and it's on the website, endofamericabook.com. And if somebody goes to that, they can read it free, of course. And as I said, there's a one-hour presentation in there and lots of links to articles about prophecy and so forth. One of the things that's linked in there is the description that we find in the Holy Bible that tells us that the daughter of Babylon, Babylon the Great in the end times, is the mother of abominations. And one of the things we have yet to talk about in this hour discussion is if you look at America today, is there any way to see that our country comes even close to being the mother of abominations? Which leads me to bring up something that just happened this morning. And that is that the United States Circuit Court of Appeals, that sits in Chicago and has primary jurisdiction over portions of the Midwest, including Indiana, where we're from, ruled that the laws of the state of Indiana and also the state of Wisconsin, it struck down two at the same time, which said that if you want to be married in those two states, you must be of opposite genders, were unconstitutional. And that now brings the number of states where gay marriage is legal from 19 to 21 states, which means we're only five away from a majority. But I think almost everybody that I've read agrees that where this is heading is to the Supreme Court, because now we have different decisions out of some of the circuits, which means that the Supreme Court relatively soon is going to be deciding whether or not God's word is true, that a man and a woman are to constitute a marriage, and whether or not 6,000 years of human history is to be given any credence. And the reason I say that, Pastor Dan, is that in this decision today, the Circuit Court of Appeals was very critical of the arguments of the states, and they said the states couldn't provide any rationale for why you shouldn't have same-sex marriage. Then, of course, the best rationale you can come up with is God's word, but I know one of the judges on the three-judge panel, and I would assume that that probably wouldn't be a very good argument there, because he also, when he was a circuit court, or just, excuse me, a district court judge in Indiana, ruled that it was against the law in Indiana in the legislature to use the name of Jesus in any opening prayer. He specifically wrote his name and said, you can't use his name in Indiana. He got a lot of criticism for that, but nevertheless, he was elevated to the higher court. So we now are looking at what the U.S. Supreme Court is going to do. And basically, here's the way it stacks up. There are three of the members of the court who are relatively conservative and who are probably going to be resistant to the idea of striking down 6,000 years of human history, plus all the laws and the constitutional state amendments that have been passed. There are three who, without any question, will vote to support same-sex marriage. And then we have four on the left-hand side, which leaves two, the Chief Justice Roberts and Anthony Kennedy. The Chief Justice was the one who voted to, in a surprise move, voted to uphold Obamacare, so there's some question as to where he'll be on it. But the real decision maker is Justice Kennedy, because you have four on the left, and if Kennedy votes with them, then that constitutes five, which means that the Supreme Court of our country will rule, more than likely, if Kennedy's with them, that same-sex marriage is legal. Which Jesus said that the end times would be like the days of Lot. And the days of Lot, of course, we know were days of gross immorality and homosexuality. Now, what about Kennedy? How will he vote? I think it's quite likely that he's going to be with the side in favor of same-sex marriage, because he has written two opinions which give us some indication. The first was the one that struck down Lawrence v. Texas, which is the original case that said that the sodomy laws were legal, and he struck all of that down. And then last year, he struck down the Defense of Marriage Act, which had been passed by the Congress of the United States and signed by Bill Clinton, and he said that was unconstitutional also, the Defense of Marriage Act. So I think it's pretty clear where the Supreme Court is going to be heading, and woe to our country when the highest court in the land rules that God's word means nothing on the subject of marriage, which is the basic underlying foundational building block of any country.
Yeah, amen. A couple of comments here. Roberts, Roberts, I got about three things to say. First, Roberts, I look for him to sway, but I kind of look for a couple of different reasons. Well, there's the traditional reason that's politically acceptable, is that you know, he worries about how history will look at him, and he wants to be on the side of history and so on and so forth. That's right. Why he voted for Obamacare. But there's also another underlying opinion, and I've interviewed several people on this program. When we get back down to the NSA, there has been talk that the NSA may have given information to the powers that be in order to change his vote. In other words, him being blackmailed. And that's a strong, very strong possibility, one we may not know the answer to for a number of years, if we ever know the answer to. But there was a lot of shocked people out there when they heard that the NSA was tapping everybody's phones. And I could name several of them that had so much guilt on them that they were really scared about it. Okay, the other thing I want to say is really, you know, America's accepting gay marriage. When we have a place like Russia, people don't get it. Russia is predominantly has a lot of Christians there. Russia doesn't believe in gay marriage. And, you know, so it's kind of ludicrous that they seem to be trying to, they've got a higher moral ground than America. And just how did that happen? How did we get to this point? Why is it Christians don't speak up? Because, folks, right now, there's more of you than there are of these gay people. There's only a few percent, less than 10% of the people in America claim to be gay anyway, gay or lesbian. So what happened? Your opinion, John.
Well, actually, I think the actual number is more like 3%.
Yeah.
But you have to remember that we're dealing here in a spiritual battle. This is intense spiritual warfare, and here we are in the end times. And if you're Satan, and you know, he can read prophecy as well as we can. He sees what's coming. He watches what God allows and what is caused. And the one thing that you want to do if you are Satan, as these times come forward, if you were Satan, I know that's impossible for you to think about, Pastor. But if you were to Satan and you wanted to destroy the country, you would totally demoralize the country in terms of morals. Secondly, you would make the church go to sleep, the great slumbering church, and convince them that their best life now and self-esteem and colorful programs, et cetera, is the way to go. Or as one major religious leader said this week, God just wants us to be happy. And so when we worship, we're not worshiping him, we're worshiping ourselves. Whoa, that's quite a statement. So, if you were to demoralize the country,
that happened to be in Joel Osteen's wife, and Joel Osteen has also came out in favor of gays and said that God loves them anyway. Let me tell you what, in God's eyes, they're an abomination in there. John didn't say it. I said it back to you, John.
Well, the scriptures clearly describe it that way, and also we know that the daughter of Babylon is the mother of abominations. So here we are looking at a country which is the major exporter of pornography to the world, the major exporter of movies and television shows that promote not only violence and murder, but divorce and adultery. And those go all over the world. If you go into any foreign country except for a Muslim country and turn on the TV, and you'll see at least half of the entertainment shows that are on there are originated out of the United States. In addition to which, we are the major consumer of illegal drugs. One Mexican drug dealer was interviewed not too long ago, and he said, we wouldn't have any jobs. We wouldn't be able to make the kind of money we'd make if America had stopped using all of our drugs. So we have same-sex marriage, pornography, drug use. But the biggest one, I still think, is the whole question of abortion. Because when this country decided through the United States Supreme Court in a really poorly written decision that it's okay to kill babies in the womb, what we said at that point in time was, we know that God creates the baby in the womb, but we don't care. We know that he created that baby in his image, but we don't care. And if it conveniences people, or for whatever reason, abortion on demand is legal. And of course, we know that the odds now that the country would reverse itself and go back to a pro-life nation are extremely limited because of the large number of people that support the right to kill babies in a womb. So mother of abominations indeed. And I hate to think of my own country as being the mother of abominations, but you have to be realistic and you have to look at the facts, because God sees the facts. He knows them a lot better than we do. Our problem as a church is that we have turned our faces away from the facts and decided to talk about our best life now and our godly purpose. Well, our godly purpose should be to stop the abomination.
Amen. Well, you know, and like I noticed today on one of the comments that somebody did on Facebook. I mean, I don't do Facebook a lot. I usually just use it for ministry and posts. But they were talking about, you know, about gay marriage. And it's, and the guy that had some name handle that sounded like it was Christian said, well, aren't you being judgmental? You know, that's one of the biggest farces out there. You know, Christians, you are supposed to look at each other through the eyes of God, through the Word of God. And if somebody is doing something wrong, you're supposed to point it out to them. In fact, it says the first time you warn them privately, second time with another person, third time you bring them up in front of the church and expel them from the church. You're not supposed to have relations and be with these people. Why are you silent, America? Back to you.
Pastor, can I tell you a quick, true, anonymous story about how that works in the world today?
Sure. We've got about 5 minutes left.
I had a business client come to me and say, a Christian lady, and she said, my partner is involved in a really bad illicit sexual relationship. He was married. And I have gone to him, as it said in Matthew 18 that you just outlined, to stop it. I accosted him with it and he wouldn't do it. And she said, I took somebody else and he was still not interested. And she said, will you contact the church with me so that we can bring it to the attention of the church and see if we can get on the schedule to meet with the board? So I called the pastor, and I explained everything, and he said, oh, we know all about that. He said, we don't see that really as a problem. The man doesn't have a happy marriage, and he went on and on, and he gave me three or four different reasons, but the end result of it was, we're not going to do a thing about it. And I left one fact out. He was an elder in the church. So the church today is very willing to look the other way when the leadership in the church is involved in gross immorality, because the church today doesn't want to be, what's that word again? The J word, judgmental, even though we're told to be.
Oh, man. Let's go like this. You know, the church used to preach about sin. You preach
sin.
About
sin. Now, wait
sin.
A minute, Pastor. Sin, that's not politically correct to use that word.
Oops. And that's the point. People are more worried about what others are thinking about them than, you know, the world is supposed to hate us. Yeshua said that. If you follow me, the world's going to hate you just as they hate me. You know, right. That. You just can't continue on in sin. And so the question arises is how much longer, I know our Father is long-suffering, but how much longer is he going to put up with this? Because if you lift the veil from your eyes and look at all the sin out there, all you got to do is walk into any public place, in the summertime Walmart, the women are halfway stripped naked, you know, people are doing all sorts of things. How much further do you think that he'll go?
Well, let's talk about the point you just made, because believe me, I am not a supporter of Islam by any means, but they've got a point when they say that the West is licentious in the way that they portray women and dress and illicit marriage and so forth. Of course, it doesn't stop them and what they do themselves, but they do raise a point. And when they say to other people in the world, well, how can you be at all interested in what the West wants to do? Because the West is horribly decadent. Well, we are decadent, but the result is not that you go out and cut people's head off. The result, as Phil Robertson said on Hannity the other night, is you get them saved.
Yeah,
the answer is to a Muslim or to a Jewish person who doesn't know the Lord, or to anybody for that matter who's not a Christian, the answer, Jesus is the answer. And once a person gets saved, they don't want to cut off anybody's head anymore. They don't care about their good life now. They want to go out and help people. They're not interested in having Steve marry
Well, amen. But let me butt in before we run out of time. But amen. A person gets saved, and then the logical thing for to do is you tell them, well, they need to go to a church. But the problem is when they go into the church, the shepherds are not preaching the gospel. They're not convicting people over sin, and they're telling them it's okay. I mean, I've had couples come into my place and tell me that they could continue on in adultery because it didn't matter. They were going to heaven anyway. It didn't matter. They didn't even need to repent of it. And I said, where'd you learn that? And they said, well, from the Christian church down the street. How can
you just put your finger on the reason why the nation has become the mother of abominations, because our pulpits don't ring with righteousness. So why would our homes exhibit any righteousness? Which, by the way, and I need to get this in before we finish our hour.
Yeah, we're about
the Bible, when it describes the daughter of Babylon, also says it will be destroyed at the end because it betrays Israel when Israel's at peace, that Ezekiel invasion you're talking about. But because God loves us so much, 10 different times, 7 to the church, 3 to Jewish people, he says to flee from Babylon. Don't stay and participate in her sins. Don't be part of her plagues. So for people who haven't read The End of America and who maybe haven't visited the website and are more curious about this message, I don't want to leave this 1 hour without saying that God knows the end from the beginning, and he's told us what's going to happen in the end.
Yeah, amen. Folks, you really need to get the book. It's only 99 cents. Get it and read it and share it with others. Brother, thanks for being back on.
Pastor, we'll good to be with you. Okay. You are a blessing. You're a blessing in not only Kansas, but the rest of the world.
Well, thank you. And we'll do it again sometime. I enjoyed speaking with you. It was a good hour. So goodbye and shalom to you.
Shalom.
Well, folks, it doesn't really matter whether you believe that a lot, of, like I said on a previous program, it doesn't matter whether you believe America is Babylon or not Babylon. God is judging this nation. I believe that's why we have the president that's in power that we have now. The reason that we have this president is because the sin of the people elected him. And you need to think about that. Your blindness, the blindness of the people elected this man to office, and he is destroying America. If you can't figure it out, wow, he is destroying America, and he is allowing, but he needed to be there because he is allowing the world to realign itself into the prophetic events that are going to happen within your lifetime and that are happening right now. Armies of the Antichrist are on the march. You need to wake up. Pray about it. Always be a blessing, gutters, because it's the blessing that you are of Yeshua to others, of the standing against sin, of helping the poor, of helping the hungry, of visiting people in the hospital. All these things you'll be judged by. All of these things. If you don't believe me, go read the book of Matthew. Come on. Don't be storing up treasure here in Edmond. If you've got more than you can use and your family can use, you need to be helping others with it. And that's not a plea for help for our ministry, because you need to help those around you first. I do pray that you'll support this ministry. We really do need your help. We are just barely making it. But, you know, we've been here. This is our 15th year. Plan to be here until Yeshua returns. We must remember there's only one God, and he is your father. He is the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. His son is Yeshua HaMashiach. He gave his life for your repentant sins, and he rose after 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth. Guess what? Through him and only through him is the way to the Father. There is no other way, for he is that sacrifice for your sins. Yeshua HaMashiach, remember that. Remember to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your mind, and all your soul. Then love your neighbor as yourself. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. That's like praying for Messiah's return, because I don't see any real peace until he does return. Blessing to others, folks, please pray about the mission church. Lord our God, Father, King Universe, ask in Yeshua HaMashiach's name that the Father blesses and keeps you, and his face shines upon you, and is gracious to you, and gives you peace like no one or nothing else can. Until an hour from now, this is Pastor Dan saying goodbye and shalom.
You've just heard the Messiah's Branch broadcast featuring Pastor Dan. To contact Dan on the internet, go to messiahsbranch.org. To write to Dan, send a note to Messiah's Branch, 230 West 4th Street, Florence, Kansas, 66851. Tune in next time for Messiah's Branch.